It Takes Two, Amy Eiler, J.J. Gordon in the studio with us once a month is Amber Gustafson. The Whiskey Widow is where you can find her online. Welcome back to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Unfortunately, as you were saying before we got on the air, that bad stuff is just happening all the time, it seems.
It is.
People are faced with loss and grief and hard stuff, big stuff. And that people often reach out to you as someone who unexpectedly loses her young husband with three young kids and looks at you as someone as a warrior, a survivor through this. And like, hey, you did this. How do I do it? How do I walk through this grief? And you've kind of been that person that people have been coming to lately asking those questions. So we thought we'd chat about it and... It is kind of hard to figure out the logistics of grief, I guess.
For sure. I just wrote on my last post about, you know, just keep walking. I've written about that before, and I wrote about it again because I did feel like people are sometimes looking to somebody that's just gone through something awful to say, how are you doing it? And you're like, oh, I wish I had a magic answer for you. I do not, right? And that just to remind people, no matter how long it's been, it's not something you can get over or through past. It's just a decision really to keep going. And that's all anybody's doing is they're just finding a way to keep going. And I think that as more time passes, people look and think, oh, they're doing really well. They've figured it out. And you're like, there's nothing to figure out. It's a whole new life that you're living and you're just choosing to keep living it, right? Which is great. And we all need to do that. But there's no secret answer. I do think there's practical things you can do to support people when bad things happen. And that's usually my first go-to when people say, how do we do this for someone? Is take some stuff off their plate. Easy things like food, shoveling, lawn care, grocery shopping. They're not the things I wouldn't call someone up and say, I just can't mow today, or I just don't want to go pick up milk. But man, when I had people that would say, hey, I'm at the store. Can I throw some bread and milk on your doorstep? You're like, once you learn to say yes, you're like, yeah, you know what? Go ahead. Yeah, we are out. I was going to have to run later. It's just taking off practical things, cleaning. But I was just in this situation with a family that it needed support. And what I think is so cool about our community is that I don't have to commit to doing it, right? Like I can't say, you know what, JJ, you're having a hard time. I'm going to come mow your lawn all summer. I could, if I could, right? But I have three kids and it's just not something I can take on at this time. But our business community, our local community has so many good programs, kind people that are just looking for someone to help. So one of those places that I just reached out to, All Terrain in Fargo, they have a Spray It Forward program. All you have to do is go on their website and you nominate someone that you know is in difficult circumstances, and they do their best to support these families. So what did that take for me? Completing an online form. What does it mean for the recipient family that their yard's mowed this year without anybody, you know, All Terrain's taking care of that because Matt believes in giving back to the community. And I'm like, there's so many cool places like that that are just ready to help people. You just got to go find them.
That's amazing.
A local company that does Christmas lights. And I had friends who said, listen, we have a friend group and one of them is going through cancer right now, right? Chemotherapy. And their Christmas lights are still up. This is last year. And they said, we called this company and they said for $100, they'd go and take down the Christmas lights. It's mid-June, right? So it's time for them to come down. And so our friend, we pooled some money together, went over there. They're like, we'll just take care of this. We'll take care of it. No problem. And so we're like, well, no, you know, we got the money. And he's like, go get something for them. Fill up their fridge. And it's those small moments that you really go like, gosh, we are all part of the same ecosystem, aren't we here? And here's the thing. And if they had charged me for it, absolutely would have paid for it because it's something that we can do to help somebody else in our community. Same thing of, you know, if you want to get a lawn service for a friend of yours, you know, who's going through a tough time, like that, absolutely. Like paying that makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're doing something when you ask them, like, well, what can I do for you? And that answer is hard to give if you are in the throes of grief or, you know, a major tragedy.
And you don't know what you want sometimes.
For sure. Yeah. I mean,
right?
Everyone gives you the, you know, let me know. If there's anything I can do, and you're like, I just barely got out of bed today. You know, like I don't have a list. Like when I look back now, I can see the things that were helpful. And it's just those people that showed up and took some of those practical things off my plate at a minimum. That's a easy way to start. Like you said, when there's a big group of people, you're like, yeah, we're going to go pay. There's a zillion lawn places that would love to have that service and say, we're going to support someone. And it's easier. Like, could you send them a pile of flowers? Sure, as a group, right? But generally, you have some serious funds when people are all trying to do something and you're like hiring them a lawn service or a snow service or a cleaning service or, you know, saying, hey, your groceries can be delivered for whatever, you know, those kinds of things. They're not going to ask you for it. They're not going to say this is a huge need of mine, but when that's off their plate, they can breathe a little more.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Have some space to do some other things or just sit in their grief and not have to do the practical.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's people are coming to you and asking you these questions because they both want to know what to do for people and they want to know how you got through it. What did people say to you in the beginning that you're like, I still think about that? Do you know what I mean? Because I'm sure people did the same thing that maybe have had gone through grief before you and tried to offer you something that for whatever reason you held on to. Does that make sense? Can you think of anything?
You mean in a good way?
Yeah, in a good way.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, were there bad things? I guess we should know about those too.
No, I think one thing I was going to say is I think that people worry too much about saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing or showing up at the wrong time and just take the, just drop something off right when you're thinking of it. Throw the card in the mail right when you don't worry. I think somebody just brought them a meal or I think that's, you know, I think we spend too much time in our own heads and it's like the minute you go do something for someone, you feel better. You have helped fill a need for them, whether they realized it or not. And people just spend too much time worrying about the details of it all. Mm-hmm. And I think too, I looked at someone else who'd been doing this longer than I had, who I'd considered a young widow. And I, you know, now we're friends, right? When it happened for me, I, you know, thought of her immediately because she had a young husband and she had young kids and in the same hockey program. But, you know, I think also, so now we started having lunch every month and it was just, we're good friends and realized like, she'll tell you too. Yeah, I didn't get over anything, right? Like I'm farther ahead on the grief journey, but just, there's no magic.
There's no magic.
No.
Yeah.
And talking to people that are living, and everyone's real careful to say, well, I didn't have this, or my person died like this, or it's not exactly the same. It's like, yeah, no, but there's these moments that mark you forever, and whether it's a cancer diagnosis or a sudden death or, you know, caretaking somebody else, it's, you know what trauma and grief is in some, you can feel it. It doesn't have to be identical circumstances, and talking to people living that helps too.
Here's something that really helped out, like when my mom died. We had a good friend of the family who came over and they knew that we were cleaning out my mom's closet. It was about a year after her death. And they said, we'll take everything in for you. All you got to do is bag it, put it in the garage. We'll pick it up. We'll actually get it. Because, my God, if you've ever had something that you need to take over to the thrift store or the second chance store, it can live in the back of your car for months and months.
It is.
And that's in a regular circumstance.
That's
bingo,
it. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right? My kid's crap that's still in the garage ready to donate somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Way more emotional when you're dealing with a closet of, you know, full of things. I still have piles in some places. But, I mean, that task right there is so kind because you've done the work and you've got it in a bag and it's just sitting there. My sister did that for me on more than one occasion. I'm like, I didn't even really have to ask her, but you know, she's like, I will take these out of the house right now. And you're like, God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah. There is something to the emotional component of like, okay, so I put it in bags, but sometimes we store things in bags for a long time. It's another to like hand them over and like get over that guilt, right? Of saying, I'm giving something that is extremely personal and it's like I'm saying goodbye. It's like I'm getting rid of this person. Even though it's not at all. In fact, you're giving someone a great gift by getting to go forward and enjoying and using those things. But that was the thing. I couldn't get over the, like, we'll just put it there in the corner and be like, ooh. And so having someone else be like, I'll come and I'll get it all and bye-bye, beep, beep, that made a huge difference. And so even if you think it's something that's odd or weird, and if I say no the first time, you can ask me a second time.
Exactly. Right? That's so true. It's so true.
thewhiskeywidow.com. You can see Keep Walking Part 2 up there now. And I suspect there'll be a Part 3 eventually, too.
No doubt.
That's just Keep Walking. That's the whole point of Keep Walking, right? There's going to be a lot of parts to that. You can go see it today. Thewhiskeywidow.com. That's where you can follow her. Whiskey Fest coming up, too. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. And
Thursday, April 11th. Is Fargo Whiskey Fest, and the ticket sales are benefiting two local charities, one of which is the Lieutenant Adam Gustafson Memorial Fund, and we're so grateful to the Republic National Distributing Company for letting us come back again. There's still a few tickets left. They're $40 now. I think they go up to $50. I'm not sure when, but it's a change of venue this year, so it's at Delta Hotel, and it's going to be lots of fun. We're going to sell Adam merch. We hope you come out and visit us.
Awesome.
Even at the 50, you are getting a steal of a deal. Yeah, I mean, you're getting something that's worth thousands of dollars in a tasting for a very small amount of money.
For sure. $50, and that's happening next Thursday, right? Next Thursday? Yeah. Whiskey Facts.
Next Thursday. That's
holy
crazy.
Moly.
Right? Yeah, where is this month already going?
It's only the second. We've got time.
Oof.
We got time. We got time. Amber Gustafson, the Whiskey Widow here on KFGO once a month. Thanks for being here again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.